Welcome to the most inappropriate book club you never knew you were missing. Featuring at least three different books every week. Starring Martha Steele, the weirder the book, the better. Vonnie Golden, historical fiction with a side of trauma porn. Keith Steigert, reading the books your mother warned you about. Megan Runyon, reading YA, and whatever her current fixation is. Pat Griner, refusing to read by the rules, as a rule. These people are passionate about books, maybe a little too passionate. Plotting world domination, one book at a time. They are three book girls.
So, on a completely different note,
yes,
Pat brought to our attention that it is the anniversary, the 50th anniversary of Carrie.
The book, right?
Right.
No. Okay. What?
Carrie.
Yeah, Carrie.
The book.
Oh,
Stephen King.
Oh, okay. Publishing Carrie.
Yes. I've never watched Carrie read the book.
I've read it and watched it.
No, thank you.
There is, I don't think it's done much. They made a Broadway musical out of it.
Oh. Really?
And I have heard clips from some of the songs, and they're pretty, I don't think they were intended to be funny, but they're funny.
Maybe that's why you haven't heard anything about it.
Unintentional comedy.
Yeah, it was not a successful Broadway musical, but
unintentional comedy for 500, Alex.
It's kind of like accidental cannibalism.
Exactly.
Unintentional comedy and accidental cannibalism.
They go hand in hand.
They're all just perfect.
But anyway, 50 years of good horror stuff because Stephen King almost single-handedly revitalized the horror genre.
Yes, he did. Okay, his wife Tabitha rescued Carrie, the manuscript, out of the trash can because he thought it was terrible. She rescued it out of the trash can, and that's the reason we have Carrie and, honestly, Stephen King's career.
That's one of his books that I like. You know, I'm not a huge
high school
fan.
English up till then.
What's that?
He was teaching high school English till that book made a
really dang
success. Yep.
So this just goes to show you that always get a second opinion,
right? One man's trash is another person's treasure.
Yay!
Yep.
Quite literally in that situation.
That's exactly right. I mean, I think about all the joy that I've had over the years of reading his books.
Think
man.
Of all the things that he did for the horror genre. I mean, I'm not even a mega fan like you, and I know what an influence he's been on so many authors.
You know what I like about him the most? And this is the reason that I fell in love with his writing style. Is when you were reading the dialogue in his books, it was like you were standing in the room with the characters because they talk like real people. And people were like, oh, he's so filthy. He's such a potty mouth. And I'm like, dude, this is so realistic to me, the way he does dialogue. That's what made me fall in love with his writing.
I've never read any Stephen King, so.
Really?
No.
You should try at least one.
No, I have no desire.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't want to.
Well, you know, he does have some things that are not, like The Green Mile.
No, that's sad.
I haven't read that, but I love that movie. I really should read the book.
Yeah. It was really good.
I read it when it was out in serials. It was annoying as hell.
Oh, yeah, geez. It was. I also did the same thing. I read like the first three and it pissed me off. I think I have one of them laying around the house somewhere.
I don't know. He's just never, I think my cousin and I have the same thing where like once a book gets, or like an author is like, oh my God, everybody has to read this author. The freaking vacuum people every Friday. Like as soon as they're like, you get like judged for not having read them, then I will be like, no, I'm really not reading it. Like, I don't know. I just never had any desire to read his books.
Well, I can get that to a certain extent because, you know, Stephanie Meyer is that way for me.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in, you know, although I did read
The Chemist.
No, The Host.
Oh, I loved The Host.
Did you read The Host?
I did. I read The Host.
What did you think of it?
I didn't,
probably wasn't sci-fi enough.
I didn't hate it.
Really?
Yeah. Didn't love it, but I also
didn't. Well, see, if you didn't hate that, you might not hate Twilight.
Yeah, I will. characters. It's just no.
The main character and the host is way more whiny than any of the characters.
That's the reason that I didn't love it.
In Twilight.
I just don't like that
whole. I love the host.
I do, but
I didn't watch the movie because I heard it was terrible.
The movie was terrible. Yeah, I watched it.
I haven't watched it.
It was horrible. Now, the host, by near the end of the book, the main character starts to get on my nerves, but I still love that book.
Yeah, it's a good one. The only thing I know that we got from the host movie was Radioactive, the song. Because I was in the trailer. I'm like, did we get the song? Did they make this for this movie? Or is this just a happy coincidence? Because that's the only thing I remember from that whole movie is that song was this.
I don't even know how that song goes with the movie.
I think because it was kind of like edgy. Kind of had that out there kind of like.
I didn't like the character matching that they did on the host.
I couldn't even tell you who was in it.
And they
couldn't tell you.
They lost a lot of the book. They did not go.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
They skipped way too much of the book, so the movie didn't make sense.
Mm, yeah. Maybe I'll see if it's on a streaming platform one day.
All right, so.
It's probably on Roku.
Saoirse Ronan was in it.
Tubi.
Saoirse Ronan is the lead of the host?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
She's good. Now, as an actress, I like her.
I love Saoirse Ronan.
She was, she played in Grimm. She was the werewolf's girlfriend.
Oh.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah,
That's her.
That should have been like fun. Okay, now I'm going to have to find this shit and watch it.
Anyway, now that we went down a Stephenie Meyer rabbit hole.
Oh, it's not streaming anywhere for free. Bummer.
You started it this time. I invoked the devil.
I did not remember being Saoirse Ronan. It's funny when you like don't
say
watch
the name of the devil and it appears in the room.
You don't watch a movie because you're like, no, I heard it was terrible. And then you forget who was in it. And then you look back and you're like, well, that movie shouldn't have been terrible.
Yeah.
Like Saoirse Ronan. I bet you could, if someone asked her about that movie in an interview.
There are lots of terrible movies.
That's true.
They made her the main character, and she looks nothing like what the main character should have. They described her as being like athletic.
I don't remember. It's been so long.
And she is not.
No,
she doesn't look athletic. She doesn't have an athletic build whatsoever.
That's so fun. I would love to see an interviewer be like, so let's talk about the host movie. Just to, like, watch her reaction. Or be like, what the fuck? She's like, I thought that thing was dead. I thought we buried it.
Damn the social media.
Right.
So Martha's trying to change the subject.
Just because it's a topic you don't like.
No, we're talking about fucking movies.
Don't make us start singing again.
I don't know if you can see this, Megan, but this is on NetGalley. It is a Little People, Big Dreams, Golden Book of Taylor Swift.
Oh, so cute.
Yeah, that's book related. You can talk about that. That's book related.
I have the other golden book of Taylor Swift, but that one looks cute too.
The host is book related.
That's hysterical. People are
weird. You're right. It is, but not the movie.
We were talking about the differences. Fuck Martha. I'm fucking with you guys. Singing again.
I am fucking with you.
Pull up a Dolly Parton song quick.
It's working.
I will die on my movie adaptation hill. Okay.
Stop it. You are going to get a boob punch. That's what's going to happen to you.
You can't reach me.
I'm going to buy a cattle prod just so that I can stick it between the freaking screens here and give you a jolt every time you do something that pisses me off.
She's going to start bringing the Nerf gun again.
No, because she doesn't want to break her studio equipment.
Yeah, that's true. Lucky.
I feel like we need to rename Cinder now that I have finished. Cinder, for those who don't remember, is our dragon mascot that Martha bought because she didn't get her dragon in a dream once. I feel like she needs to be named after one of the dragons in Iron Flame / Fourth Wing.
No.
Yes, because Andarna would be our best friend. She is a snarky, bitchy little teenager dragon, and she's the fucking best.
How about this? You can think of her as that name.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
And I'll think of her as
Cinder,
a cute little dragon. I don't even care what her name is. She's just adorable.
No, but
she's a little sparkly.
And Darna is adorable, but she is feisty. Like anytime her person gets mad, or like if somebody's being mean to Violet, like she'll tell Violet, she'll be like, "I'll eat them if you want," or she's like, "I have claws."
So she's kind of like the dragon from Shrek.
Kinda. But she's real snarky. Because then the bigger dragon, I can't ever pronounce his
name. What's the name of the dragon on Shrek? I would prefer that name.
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
All right.
It's just
Bonnie, do you have any dragons in your books today?
No.
Aww. No dragons.
Those are actually history.
I will tell everybody that my book this week is another mystery thriller by Paul Cleave.
My God, you have like a streak going.
I know. I just haven't, not a whole lot of historical fiction books have come out and touched me lately.
Reach out and touch someone.
Paul Cleave reached out and touched me.
Sure, anytime.
In a good way. And this is called Trust No One by Paul Cleave. I looked this one up because The Killer Harvest that I reviewed a few weeks ago, I loved that one so much. So I kind of wanted to see if Paul Cleave was up my alley or if he was a one-hit wonder. And he is pretty much up my alley. I wouldn't say this is my favorite book in the whole world, but it was pretty freaking good. And it kept me wanting to read. This is about a gentleman named Jerry Gray. He is a author of crime novels, and he uses a pseudonym, Henry Cutter, for his books. Jerry Gray is 49, and he has early onset Alzheimer's. And when this book is happening, he's pretty into the disease, and he forgets a lot. Because he was a crime writer, he's getting his characters in his books and the plots mixed up with real life. This book starts out with him mistaking his daughter for a woman cop, and he's keep saying, are you going to take me in? I'm arrested. Are you going to handcuff me? And he kind of likes doing these little flirty things with her because he doesn't recognize that
it's his daughter.
It's his daughter. And then he realizes it. And then, of course, feels like crap. And this is kind of his whole life now. But at the very beginning of his diagnosis, he started a journal that he calls The Journey into Madness, which is pretty, I thought it was a pretty fun title.
It actually kind of is. You know you're going, you might as well go in style.
So he writes down everything that he can remember every day. However, when this book takes place, he's living in a nursing home. His wife has been killed, and they're telling him that he killed her, but he has absolutely no recollection. And that's why he lives in the nursing home. So he's very confused. And because he's confused, he often wanders away from the nursing home to try to go to his real home that somebody else owns now. And coincidentally, every time he is away from the nursing home and has absolutely no recollection of where he had been, someone is murdered.
Ooh.
This book takes you on his journey of trying to find out what is happening in his life. I mean, people are telling him stuff and he has absolutely no idea what's going on. And he keeps getting mixed up in his mind between him and this Henry Cutter, who is the pseudonym that he uses to write his thrillers. Henry Cutter becomes like a real person to him,
mm-hmm.
who tells him stuff. But it's really himself telling himself, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like the voice in his head.
Yeah.
But to him, it's like another person. And then I will say there's another character in this. I won't lie. I kind of zoned out when they very first introduced him. So I'm not sure why this guy's in his life. But he's been friends with him for like 30 years. You instantly get bad vibes from this guy. And you know that something's not right with him. And you just want to go into the book and write in the journal, don't trust him. He's no good.
Yeah.
Run away fast. But of course, all of that comes out to play in the book. I'm not going to tell you whether my suspicions were right or wrong. There's actually a few twists and turns and a couple of different villains of the book, but it does reveal if he's responsible for the murders.
Or not. Interesting.
And how in the world he keeps escaping from this nursing home that they put him in because he supposedly shot his wife.
I feel like he needs something more than a nursing home if he's indeed sneaking out.
The security would be a little bit more tight with somebody in his situation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, even if he didn't kill his wife, you just can't have Alzheimer's patients leaving all willy-nilly.
True.
But it's really good. It kept me reading. I kind of figured out a little bit of the plot before I got there, but I enjoy the journey, so that's okay with me. It was good. I would recommend it. I thought it was, I'd say 4.5, 5 stars.
Okay.
Definitely recommend it. I don't know if I'd, you know, read it a second time.
Yeah.
It's not going to go in my alternating one-hit wonders.
In between your Ken Follett reads.
Ken Follett reads. But I did love it, and I would recommend it. And that, again, is called Trust No One by Paul Cleave.
Nice.
Very nice. Okay, let's skip on by to Keith, please.
So the book I'm reviewing this week is called Old Flames and New Fortunes by Sarah Hoggle. And this just came out Tuesday. And it is, I want to kind of say it's like magical realism. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's also a romance before Martha says, oh, I might like that. You will.
God damn it. You do that all the time. Everything you talk about is so good. And then you go, oh, yeah. And
Martha, there's no romance in
my book. That's why I started it that way this time. It's like, don't get your hopes up.
Love you. Thank you.
So this book, what I liked about this book was that it was really different in terms of like the magic. I mean, I've never heard of anything like this. These three sisters, because, you know, sisters three, like that's just how it always goes.
How very charmed of them.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's the coven, the power of three, all that stuff.
Sort of like us. We are the power of three.
But there's five.
So we...
Technicalities.
It's because we're too powerful for just three people.
Exactly. Sorry, Keith, go ahead.
I like them. No, you're fine. So it's in this tiny little rural town in Ohio. So there aren't any Walmarts or anything like that. All the town is like cobblestone, and it's like this really old town. And so all the shops are these small little locally owned shops. And these sisters, their family has always owned this magic shop. And so one of them sells candles. Another sister actually writes paranormal books and sells those there. And this is about Romina. And Romina is the sister who does magic through floral arrangements. So Romina is a flora fortunist. And so she does her magic, like, her magic is really interesting. And, like, this is the thing that just kind of made me really like the book, is that she knows which flowers bring what. And then she has this amazing garden. And so she'll make, people will ask for flower arrangements for various things. Like, say, you want somebody to know that you're interested. So she'll pick out different flowers that mean that, those things. And if she puts the right arrangement together, it's actually really great for her because she gets memories and all the feelings that went with a really great memory from her past. So, for instance, if it's of this amazing day at the seashore, like she'll feel sand on her skin and she'll smell the ocean and that kind of stuff. And so that's how she knows she's made the right arrangement. And then, like, she gives them out and people are always coming back and saying, oh my gosh, it did exactly what you said. And she puts happy customers on like a little board with their picture and like that kind of stuff. So she's a girl who had a high school sweetheart, like from their freshman year on. And they were like this perfect couple. Everybody thought they would stay together forever. And of course they didn't. When college time came, something happened and they broke up. And then she never saw him again. She stayed in town and he never came back. So she is getting ready for a business meeting because they're meeting with an investor. So Romina is going to meet with an investor and they're going to give him their plan to revitalize this shop, and they bought land next door to the shop, but they didn't do an inspection. So it had all these problems, and they spent all their money like fixing all the problems. So now they don't have the money to expand the shop, which they desperately need to do. So they have a certain amount of time that they have to do it by. And so they're meeting an investor. When they go to meet the investor, he doesn't realize that this is an investor meeting. He thinks the person that goes with her to the investor meeting is her best friend who owns the magic shop and like owns the building and rents to them. And he thinks he's going to meet his dad, who's the investor. The dad instead is like, hey, I want you to meet this woman. We're getting married this weekend.
Oh, shit.
Right? So he meets her and Romina's with him and she's like, oh my gosh, hi. And they're like hugging. It's the ex-boyfriend's mom. And she's like, I'm getting married this weekend.
Wait, the ex-boyfriend's mom's getting married to her best friend's dad?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
So, and her ex-boyfriend is Trevor. So
fucking Trevor.
It's going to be this. And you know, it's always like a week. I never know anyone who does like a week long wedding, but in the books, they never do it like over 2 days. It's like, so they're doing like a week long wedding. All the family has come. The hotels are all booked. So of course he has to, Trevor has to stay with her.
So and only one bed.
Yeah, it's proximity trope. It's the one bed trope, the second chance romance.
Of course.
And he doesn't believe in anything. Like when they were dating, she was always like rolling her eyes and being like, oh yeah, my family has a magic shop. And he was like, oh, that's so funny. Yeah. So now she has embraced her gift and he's like, oh my God, you're an idiot.
This is why forever and always from after the line fucking Trevor always goes.
Well, she is also fake dating Trevor. Because of a really stupid circumstance. And now that Trevor is here, the ex-boyfriend, she's like, well, I don't want to get with him, so I'm going to keep fake dating this guy.
Oh, wait, she's fake dating the best friend, not fake dating Trevor.
Yes, the best friend.
Okay, got it.
I know. It always sounds like a soap opera.
It kind of does. I love it, though.
But again, one of the reasons I really liked this book was because I love the books with tons and tons of characters that I get so confused at first, but by the end, I'm like, oh, yay, like this happened with that character. And oh, yeah, this character was like waiting for a bakery prize. Like, I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. But I love it when it all comes together and there's all these webs. And in this book, there was a point at which I gasped. And I don't remember why. Like, I don't remember exactly why I was so surprised by it. But my husband, like, I woke up my husband.
Oh, my.
I'm usually a quiet reader, but this book had all these, like, webs and, like, not twists, but just all these feel-good things that, and all these all these characters, like, okay, for those of you who watch Gilmore Girls, this was a very Stars Hollow kind of town.
Okay.
With all these crazy, like, eccentric people. And like we were talking earlier about Martha really likes when they have conversations in books where you could totally see yourself having them with people.
Oh, yeah.
That's this book. Like they're giving each other crap and they're being totally mean to each other. And then they'll have like this great memory. And then they remember they're supposed to hate each other and all like that kind of thing. And the sisters, they're so hysterical. Like, they're just like, oh my gosh, bitch, like, get out of my bed. I'm trying to watch TV. And she, and like, the other ones, but I need to snuggle. And like, at one point, like, there are five people in a bed. And the woman who owns, whose bed it is like, y'all have rooms. Like, you could all go somewhere. And nah. They're not, it's just that kind of thing. Like, it's the kind of thing where you could see your girlfriends or like the people you went to college with or your family in them. And it was a really sweet story. I will say the one thing that was weird to me was it was really sweet and cute and it had all these happy witchy things. And then all of a sudden there's like dirty smut.
Woo woo.
And I was like, oh,
brown
wow.
chicken,
like,
brown cow.
Well, that's what happens when all of my friends get in the same bed.
Move over. I don't have enough room. Oh, my God.
This is the real reason she doesn't spend the night at Martha's house. She's got a bed full of people back at her place.
Every day is a party in Mommy's bed.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't unwanted. I was just surprised that all of a sudden it's like bow chicka bow bow. And I was like, wait a minute. We were just talking about old Mrs. Crocker or whatever. And then it's like, oh, and now they're having sex.
Okay. Old Mrs. Crocker, cool. The dirty bitch.
Is it Betty Crocker? Does she have butter or margarine?
Oh, Betty.
Whichever one.
For anyone that's going to read this. I'm like just tossing out names. Don't be like, what the hell? Where was Mrs. Crocker? Oh, God. The whole time I was saying Trevor is the best friend and Alex is the ex-boyfriend.
That also tracks. Trevor's the bestie. Alex is the ex.
It's been like a hot minute since I read this book.
Fucking Alex.
Also appropriate. But fucking Trevor's the lie.
So this book was a whole lot of fun. I really liked it. I mean, it had smut in it, which I liked too. And it had like the little magic-y, like not over the top, I'm casting a spell on you. It was just this like, oh, we're incorporating things into our lives. Kind of like a coven would do, like you know, Wiccan stuff would do now.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool. And that was Old Flames and New Fortunes by Sarah Hoggle.
Excellent. Okay, Pat.
Okay. I read a book called Mr. Magic by Kirsten White.
I've read that.
You didn't review it, though.
No. No, I didn't.
So I found this a fascinating book. I looked at some of the reviews on Goodreads, and this is one of those books that people either love or hate. There's a lot on either side. But I definitely come down on the really enjoyed it. At the beginning of this book, we meet our main character. Her name is Val. She's a young adult woman who lives on a ranch in Idaho with her father and a woman named Gloria who owns the ranch. She and her father work there. He kind of is the ranch manager, and she helps run like a day camp program for rich kids. At the very beginning of the book, one of the first things that happens is that Val's father dies. He's had a stroke in the past. His health is not good. He dies, and they're having a funeral for him at the ranch. And Gloria puts up the information about the funeral on Facebook. And out of the blue, these two men show up for the funeral who clearly seem to know Val. She does not recognize them. But the more she talks to them, the more she realizes that they have shared something in the past. Val doesn't remember a good chunk of her past. Her memories start when she is 8 years old and they showed up at this ranch. Her father has always been very adamant about keeping a low profile. She is not allowed to watch television. She was not allowed to go to school. She was spent very little time in the town near this ranch. She has no idea really why her father always kept her so secluded.
I'm waving red flags over here.
I was just doing that too. I was waving a red flag.
But she decides that she's going to go on a road trip with Javi and Isaac, who are the two guys who showed up for the funeral, because they're like, well, they ask her, are you going to the reunion? And she says, what reunion? Well, in order to find out something about her past, because they clearly know more about her past than she did, she ends up going on this road trip with them down into the Utah desert. And it turns out that Val and Isaac and Javi and three other kids were members of the cast of a kids' TV show called Mr. Magic. And Mr. Magic is a very mysterious show in that no one seems to be able to find any information about it. There, it's mentioned often in websites, chat rooms, places like that. But whenever there's any kind of a specific reference to something that about the show, it gets deleted from the web. And no one can seem to remember the specifics, like exactly when was it on or what network carried it. No one's able to find the name of the production company that made it. But it's a beloved show that people all over the country, they said, do you watch Mr. Magic growing up? And they're like, oh, yeah, I love that show. But they can't find anything specific about it. Well, their reunion is going to take place on a podcast, interestingly enough. Val is, she's kind of lost in the world anyway, because she's been kept so sequestered and alone on this ranch. And so she has, like, they stop to check into a motel and she's like, I don't know how motels work. How do I do this? How do I do anything? But when they get to Utah, the hints start coming thick and fast about something that went down on this show that has people really upset, and that Val was somehow at the heart of it. Several of the other cast members make fleeting references to, you owe us this. This show was the best thing in our lives and you broke it. yeah. So you don't know exactly.
Fans can be rabid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't know quite when Val doesn't remember what she did, but I don't want to give away too much, but let's say that a couple of things that you find out fairly early in the book, just that I can give you as a good teaser. Val's father evidently kidnapped her from this show, took her own. That's why they were hiding at this ranch in Idaho.
We were right, Keith, with the red flags.
Red flags,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah, he took her away from that show. She asked him once, what happened to my mom? Where is she? And he just said, she's gone. Val has always interpreted that to mean that she was dead, but she's not. And there will be, there will be some sort of a reunion. There is just a creepy house out in the middle of the Utah desert where they go for this podcast, and where apparently the families of the children who were on the show lived. It's got six stories with an apartment for each. There were six kids on the show. So it's like six apartments stacked up, and that's where they're staying. And they're filming the podcast in the basement with a mysterious interviewer who shows up pretty much whenever they're ready to do something. There are TV sets in each of these apartments that can't really be turned off. Even when they seem to be turned off, the screens still glow faintly. And there are no doors on the apartments, so everybody, you can't shut anybody else out. I can't say much more without giving away too much, but there's an afterword, an author's afterword, and a lot of the people who have commented on Goodreads and places say that they read the afterword first and they're glad they did. I'm not sure. I kind of suspected the fact that the book is set in Utah, out in the middle of the desert, and the author starts the afterword by saying, I'll just answer the question that most people ask me right off. Yes, I was raised Mormon. So.
Oh, because he's from Utah.
Okay, thanks.
There's that. And the thing about Mr. Magic, about the show, what they all remember are all these little rhymes that they were taught. And these rhymes, I wish I could remember one to quote it. And unfortunately, my memory is not that good for those details. But the rhymes all have to do with teaching kids little how to behave lessons. And the how to behave tends to be, don't rock the boat, do what you're told. Push your own desires down in order to get along with other people. Basically, subjugate yourself to the larger group.
That sounds very religious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a supernatural element to it. There's also a very sociological element to it. A lot of people found that the book moved slowly. I did not find it that way. I was just intrigued as hell and wanted to know what was going on. how did that show work? Because the more they remember about the show, the more things don't make sense. Like, none of the kids who were involved in the show remember there ever being like a camera crew around filming them or any kind of a shooting schedule. They just had these adventures and somehow they ended up on TV. There were 6 kids and only 5 of them have come to this reunion. And you find out in the course of the book who the 6th one was and why she was important to Val and what may have become of her. So it's an intriguing premise, and I found it very well done. I can't say much more without giving away too much, because you really have to discover these things by yourself. But there's a shadowy group in the background trying to make things happen that maybe shouldn't happen. And there's a mysterious presence. Mr. Magic himself, even on the show, the kids never saw him. He was covered in a black cape. They never saw his face and just heard his voice. And apparently one of the things that Val did was lead something of a rebellion against Mr. Magic on the Mr. Magic show. So without giving anything else away, I'll just say it was an intriguing premise and I found it very well done. That was Mr. Magic by Kirsten White.
Interessante.
Okay.
All right.
Megan.
We are taking a hard left or right turn, whichever direction you want to turn, into hockey romance land.
Yeah, that's pretty hard left.
Yeah.
Hard right.
So this week I'm reviewing The Deal by L. Kennedy. And I picked this up because I actually went to a romance book club at A Novel Idea, and this was the book club pick. So I was like, oh, good, it's already on my shelf. And so it's perfect. So we have Hannah. She's our main character, and she is a smart cookie, and she is acing a class that, like, everybody else is failing miserably. And she has a crush on Justin, and is, like, obsessed with Justin, but, like, has never actually talked to Justin. Is just, you know, infatuated with him. And her friend's like, so what's your plan? Like, are you gonna, like, get, like, are you gonna actually talk to him? And she's like, no, I wouldn't want to do that. that's just crazy talk. And so they're in this class. She's in class, this really hard class. And Garrett is sitting next to her, beside her. And he looks down at her paper that has, like, an A+ on it. And his is, like, a C-. And he's like, I'm going to need you to tutor me because I have to pass this class to keep playing hockey. And she's like, no, I don't have time for your shit, because she is a music major and working on a big performance piece. And, like, she's like, I don't have time to tutor you, you, like, idiot jock. Like, I just don't have time. And he's like, no, but you're going to tutor me. And she's like, no, for real, I'm not. And he kind of just won't relent. And then he is, like, talking to her one day again, trying to get her to tutor him. And he realizes that she has a crush on Justin. Well, Garrett is, like, the big man on campus. His dad is a former professional hockey player. Garrett is planning on becoming a professional hockey player. So he's, like, big man on campus. And he was like, you know what would really get Justin's attention is if he thinks we're dating. And I'll help you think with Justin by, like, fake dating if you tutor me for this class. And she's like, fine, like, we'll do this. And that's pretty much where it kicks off. And it is one of those kind of, you know, forced proximity, kind of like enemies to lovers scenarios. And it was a fun ride. I will say there is a trigger warning on this particular book. This is the first one in a series, so I don't know about the other ones in the series. But I would say trigger warning for references to rape and sexual assault. So just be aware of that going in, because it is literally on, like, the first page. So if you're not in a headspace for that, it's her recounting. It's not involving. It's kind of involved. It's not part of this couple's story, if that makes sense. But it's part of her story. So just be aware of that. If you are not in headspace for that, I would maybe suggest a different book. But I loved it because he's so self-assured and, like, cocky, and just, he's, like, so confident that he's going to convince her to tutor him. And it's kind of really funny to watch them go like, no, I don't like her. I just need her so I can pass this class. And she's like, I don't need him. I like Justin. I'm only doing this for Justin. And all the housemates are like, so like, are y'all getting it on upstairs? And they're like, no, we're studying. And they're like, but are you? So it was, it's kind of fun. And one of Garrett's best friends, and I didn't write his name down, keeps trying to hit on her and he gets so jealous. But like neither of them are wanting to admit that anyone being around them makes them jealous. But you know, as the reader, like she's seething with jealousy. And of course he's a hockey player. So she goes to some hockey games and just kind of starts to become part of this like hockey world to some extent. But, and he explains like puck bunnies to her, which are, you know, the girls who just like follow the hockey team around and just want to sleep with them because they play hockey. And she's like, well, I'm not one of your puck bunnies. And he's like, no, you're my tutor. So it's a fun dynamic between them. She has like an asshole guy that she works with for her song piece for the showcase. Because if she wins the showcase, she wins like $5,000. And she needs the $5,000 to pay her tuition because she doesn't make a lot. Her parents don't have a lot. They're stuck in small town Indiana because her dad punched out the guy, or a friend of the guy that was responsible for her assault. So then he got taken to court and they had to like take out a bunch of money. So there's a lot happening, but it's super fun. You will hate Garrett's dad. You will want to punch him in the face multiple times throughout this book. He was what I think of as like the stereotypical hockey asshole. Like that's his dad's vibe. You just hate him the minute he like is peripheral in the scene. You're just like, that guy's a dick. And he just is. But Garrett is super, I like Garrett because he's so like confident. Like his confidence doesn't come off as arrogance. It comes off as like truly confident and just like he couldn't fathom a world where like she wouldn't tutor him. And no matter how many ways she explained it, he was like, no, but you're gonna like, I'll see you at 9 or what. Like he just was not taking the I'm not tutoring you as an answer because he knew she was like the smartest person in that class. And he's not like a typical dumb jock. He just is this professor is really difficult. Like he has straight A's in every other class. So this professor is just really difficult. So he needed her help. But I really liked it. There's others in the series. I will probably circle and read those. But it's just a fun college romance of will they, won't they? Will he pass the test to be able to play hockey so he can, you know, graduate in a couple years and be pro or whatever? And yeah. You'll hate his dad. I said that already, but it's, I don't know how else to say other than it was really fun because I don't want to give any too much away, but I did want to make sure I put that trigger warning in there because, you know, not everybody is in a headspace for that. So just wanted that to be a topic, I guess, but I highly recommend it. It's just fabulous. And that is The Deal by L. Kennedy. And what I wouldn't do to be back at Culver with all these hockey romances, because I bet it is a wild place with all these hockey romances out there.
Okay, now let's swerve back in the opposite direction again.
You mean you don't have a hockey romance?
No.
Come on.
No, sorry.
A hockey murder? Maybe somebody did something else with that stick.
Well, true. there is a serial killer involved.
Mm. Well, I was close then.
You were? Yep.
So. There was some murder happening.
Yep. And it's called You'd Look Better as a Ghost. By Joanna Wallace.
Like dead?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm putting that
I
in my backpack.
I think I know lots
of
people that would look better dead.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
You'd Look Better as a Ghost. What a great title. This is a debut novel from Joanna, and there were a few things about it that were a bit problematic, just mostly for me, dialogue-wise. But I zoomed through this book so fast, and I am totally giving it a great review despite some, you know, minor issues, because the story itself was so incredibly refreshing. For one thing, you really don't read about female serial killers very often, and when you do, it's dark. But for some reason, this chick made me laugh.
Somehow, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah, yeah. So
murder's fun.
Murder's fun. In the description, it calls her a part-time serial killer.
Interesting. How does? Okay.
But it begins when she is at her father's funeral and she's very, very sad because she and her dad were very close. And she gets an email. I want to say that it was either right before the funeral or during. The email is an acceptance email for an art show that she had entered, that she wanted to be in. Well, she tells a few people, you know, that she's moving on and everything is better and she's going to be doing this art show. And then she gets another email from the same guy saying, oops, wrong Claire. Because her name's Claire. And he said, I'm so sorry I sent you this email. It should have gone to this other girl named Claire. So there's no place for you. And the guy was a real dick. And she just lost her dad and she's bummed out. But being a serial killer, she deals with it the way serial killers would deal with it. She stalks him and goes to the bar he's in. And she chats him up. She chats him up and he doesn't recognize her or her name because he's kind of a full of himself kind of guy. She takes him home and slowly tortures and murders him.
Shit.
My kind of girl.
Yep. So it's a very twisty, like, okay, towards the end, the twists are so good. I can't even tell you how good they are. It's just really the kind of story that I absolutely love. So she joins this grief group because she just really is bummed out about her dad. I mean, she basically spent all of her time with him, caring for him, and, you know, he's gone now. So she signs up for this grief group, and there's this girl at the grief group who's really super annoying. And in the back of her head, you know, she's thinking thoughts about this girl who just will not go away. She's trying to insert herself into Claire's life, and she's not really having any of it. So she goes home, and this chick fucking follows her and comes inside her house. And she's like, okay. So I can't remember what the hell the girl's name was. But anyway, she's like, oh, and by the way, you have a head in your fish tank. So this girl knows about her. And she's like, by the way, I've told all of these people that I'm at your house. So you can't do anything about it.
So wait, like she just randomly puts a head in her fish?
No. The Claire put it there. From somebody else that she murdered.
I know, but like, why would you put a head in your fish tank?
That's irrelevant. Well, no. It's irrelevant, okay. Really.
Surely. Seems like a bad way to get caught.
To play with. Little hole. You know, great for fish to swim in.
Yeah,
in
I mean, the guy.
It's one of those long, weak feeders. Because, yeah. I mean, think about how long they could pick the meat.
I feel like this is the easiest way to get caught.
Yeah, but nobody ever comes to her house. She didn't invite the chick over. She, like, inserts herself into her life. Well, that was a bad way to do it. I'm just saying that. So
I'm too far deep into my Bones rewatch for this.
So then she decides that she's going to go, because this happened. This girl knew the guy that she killed. She knew her. And because this girl, the one that she killed, was working with the guy she killed in a blackmail scheme.
And wait, that's why she killed the girl and the guy?
Well, she killed the guy, and we don't know yet if she killed the girl.
Because the girl's still in the house.
Right. So, because I'm not going to tell you that part.
You have to read it, Megan.
So I'm just repeating back what she said.
Right. So, because there was this blackmail scheme going on, she gets a little paranoid, and she wants to, like, find out more about this guy's life. So she goes to where his mother is being cared for in this Alzheimer's home. And she sort of inserts herself as a family friend to try to get close to the mom. Well, the mom, oh my God, the most annoying fucking character on the planet. And especially if you're listening to the audio, which, by the way, was so grating. That was my biggest complaint about the book, is that I was so annoyed by everything she was annoyed by that it was almost unreadable at some points, because I was like, oh my God, you should kill this girl. So the mom is like, she has this line that she repeats all the time. Where's my baby? What have you done with my baby? And the narrator says it just about like that. And it's like
Edith Bunker.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. It's like yelling, yelling, yelling. But if you've ever been to a nursing home, you know that sometimes they do repeat.
They get stuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, the plotting in this, I personally found brilliant. And not only did I not figure out what the hell was going to happen, but I was completely surprised at some of the twists and turns that happened. I really, really, really liked it. I liked it. I'm going to read her next book. I just hope that some of those issues with especially the dialogue. It was just a little on the repetitive side. But if you like books about serial killers, but you've been craving something a little different, this is a good one to, and like I said, it's a debut novel. So, you know, it's not perfectly polished, but such a great story. I read it so fast. I did not want to put it down. And to me, that is the sign of a good writer.
That is true.
So that's called You'd Look Better as a Ghost by Joanna Wallace.
I'm going to keep that insult in the back of my pockets.
Thanks, Joanna. Thanks for that insult.
Yeah. You'd look better as a ghost, because it's going to take them a minute to process what you said. Because that's not like, fuck you, I hate you.
You want to know one that I heard? I can't remember where I saw it. You're worse than a period cramp.
I don't know. I feel like they're both good, but I really like You Would Look Better as a Ghost.
And she, when she's going to kill somebody, when she's pretty sure she's going to kill somebody, she kind of sees them as becoming invisible. So she like gets a premonition of whether or not she's going to kill that person. Oh, you're really fucking annoying, but you're still solid. So fine.
Which means that you will haunt me so I can't kill you.
It sounds interesting.
So it was a really kind of a funny train running through it. And you know me, if there's a little bit of funny in there, I'm all about it.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
So, that sounds like it would be a good match with one I read a year or two ago. I didn't review it. I think somebody else had reviewed it maybe on the show. My Sister, the Serial Killer.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't remember who reviewed it.
Bonnie or Rachel.
But I've read that too. And you're right, has some similarities to it.
Yeah. Fun.
So the eclipse is this weekend?
It will have, it'll be Monday. If you're listening to this on Monday, it could be any minute now.
I'm headed down to Texas with my friend who's in town. So that's the plan.
We got really cool eclipse blood donation shirts at work.
Really?
Yeah. So the best things happen at happy hour, apparently, because this is when we came up with this really great idea. So it's black and white, and it says like solar eclipse or like donor or something. I can't remember exactly what it says. But the O's in the shirt are like solid.
Uh-huh.
And when you put it in the sun, the rim around the O's turns neon yellow, honestly.
But I like the giraffe shirt.
It has
giraffe butts on the back.
It does.
Oh,
it says like cool. Be ahead of the crowd.
We're talking about the Oklahoma Blood Institute, by the way, you guys.
So if you come to Oklahoma and see me or see us and donate, you can get cool shirts.
But donating blood is still a great cause.
Yep.
It is.
No matter what state.
Find your local blood bank, because
The vampires need love too, guys.
They do.
Right.
So your blood institute is tied in with the vampire community.
Yes.
And you'd rather have them take donated blood than the alternative.
Yes.
We're like in an alternate reality. alternate reality.
I mean, that's what they did in Vampire Diaries.
I know. Yeah.
If your only option is the Red Cross, then it's still great. But if you have a local blood center, donate there, because
it's going to go to your local hospital.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So if you missed our book mingle that just happened Saturday the 6th, if you live in central Oklahoma, this coming Saturday on the 13th, we will be in Guthrie doing another book mingle for the grand opening of a novel idea bookshop. So we'll be there from 4 to 6. So come out and mingle and get book recs and visit and meet Chelsea. I don't know if Mr. Darcy will be there. She has a dog.
Your local book community.
Yeah. Mr. Darcy will probably be there wreaking havoc and just loving on everybody. So come see him. He's a what?
It's a dog. It's not a person. Don't
it
worry.
It is a dog.
He's a basset hound.
He's a basset hound.
I was going to say loving on Mr. Darcy. Yeah. That just sounds wrong, Megan.
He's some Mr. Darcy. Love.
He's a basset hound with all the ears and all the paws, and he's adorable. So he may or may not be there still at 4, but we're there from 4 to 6. So come out and support Novel Ideas grand opening. Come say hi.
And whatnot.
And whatnot.
Megan's deep in the vampire community now. I mean, they just hook her up if they need a little snack.
Yeah.
I have to start calling her Elena.
Yes. But it's 2 hours that I can sit and not be at my desk.
And get paid for it?
Yeah. The downside is I'm a captive audience. So if somebody wants to come and like complain about something, I can't really get away from them.
That's how you catch your HR person. You wait till they're giving blood and then they can't go anywhere.
Megan's like picking up the bag from the little weight thing, the little scale.
No, I'm on the machine. I'm on the apheresis machine. Like I'm literally stuck.
Pushing the machine with her. Yeah. I'm just going to take this whole thing.
They used to do that to my boss when he couldn't donate for a while. And now he's donated. He was like, I used to go down there and like, it was like a swarm because they knew I couldn't get away. I'd be happily called Elena. Can I get Damon and or Stefan? Do I have to pick?
You have to have Stefan because Damon is mild.
Fair. That's fair.
That boy has got freaking abs for days.
He does.
And not like the real ugly, too muscular kind.
No, he's got perfect abs.
He's like the lengthy.
In smolder holder, as they call him.
And the perfect amount of happy trail hair.
And he married Nikki Reed, who was Rosalie.
His friend Twilight.
So, you know, that's like a vampire family, like, coven coming together. You've got the Salvatores and the Cullens. That's too much power. We're at the Volturi.
That's a lot of power.
Well, you could go with the True Blood universe as well, which is, in my opinion, superior.
Yeah, but what's her name? Suki? She's freaking annoying as hell.
I wish
a vampire would go ahead and drain her.
I like Suki.
I think that she would make a better ghost than a person. What is it?
You'd look better as a ghost.
I think she would look better as a ghost.
Come on, suck my blood.
Because, you know, I liked the first book, but the second one, oh my God. I wanted to just reach in and strangle her.
I've never read those. And
I like them.
I only watched the first season of True Blood. And then it was back when Netflix still had DVDs.
And
then they stopped doing the DVDs. So then I never got the second season because I just was like, I don't care anymore.
It's not that good to care. No, I mean, a lot of people like True Blood. So
I enjoyed it.
Hats off to you if you liked it. It just was not my cup of tea. I like my vampires
sparkly. Yeah, and on that note.
That's perfect.
That's going to do it for
Three Book Girls.
That's one way, Martha, getting us to stop talking about Twilight. I'm just going to end the podcast. I have all the power.
I have the power.
If you made it this far, you are truly bookish. So go to Facebook and join your fellow book lovers on the Three Book Girls Squad. Follow Three Book Girls on socials and be on the lookout for their next live event. Proud of their lack of shelf control, Three Book Girls is a Steel Trap production.